We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark and Miss Jill Metter.
Happy Friday, my favorite day of the week.
She was laughing and giggly before I brought up the LSU softball player.
And that's where the conversation's going to end.
And Kelly Maxwell, the OU pitcher now, and Miss Depressed over here, she won't even say her name.
Nope. Not talking about it.
Anyway, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
100 degrees at Hollis. Three-way tie for the hottest spots in Oklahoma. Mangum, Altus, and Tipton, 101. 87. They must have got a shower up at Arnett. 87 at Arnett. 85 at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon. Hey, I got a cattle thieving story for you about between Grimes and Cheyenne, that one of the landowners, what do they do it when they don't let it happen? They what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
They prevented it.
Oh.
There we're cool. Prevention. It's a really cool story. Anyway, 88 at Ceiling, 83 at Beaver, 87 at Slapout, out here in the Texas Panhandle. 101 at Odell, 95 at Wellington, and 87 at Canadian. Way up there, right below the Oklahoma Panhandle State line, we got Palador Reservoir at a very nice 83 degrees.
Ooh, that sounds good.
So here's my cattle preventive stealing story. So anyway, this guy that I know that's up there around Grimes, you know where Grimes is?
Yes.
You know where Grimes is. Anyway, on the Grimes Road, he's got this set of lot made out of guardrail from the highway department or the county. I don't know whether he stole it or purchased it, but it's made and out of it. Anyway, I guess he pulled in there one day, and he must have scared the shoes off of the cattle thief right there by where they load out. He found a pair of golf shoes. So I guess Donnie, that's his name. Anyway, he was pulled in there and he couldn't figure out how there's a pair of golf shoes ended up by his loadout. So anyway, I guess he scared him when he pulled in there. Scared him right out of their shoes.
Wow.
I'm not sure what's happening, but man, we got a lot to do today.
We do.
Oh, and
yeah.
Man,
typical
and,
Friday.
And the developer, the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet, he come in there and hooked you up with some Simon's Catch stuff, didn't he?
He did.
That was nice of him.
It was very generous of him.
Well, currently here on the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center, it's 91.2. Let's see what happened overnight. And anyway, it's Friday. Can't you tell? We're all just Elk City alumni. Did you see the big banner downtown?
Yeah, I did.
That's bigger than the rodeo one.
It's pretty ginormous.
Welcome
for sure.
All Elk City alumni into Elk City. It's Alumni Weekend.
Yeah.
Golf tournament.
There's a lot going on this weekend.
There's
here.
A lot going on everywhere. Quail Forever tournament's going on at Sayre tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we're raising money and see where the Governor Stitt even put out a big shout out to some of our locals that won the championship at the AIM, the AIM.
I did see that. On Facebook, I saw that.
So
that's pretty cool.
Now, Monty Tucker is a legend.
Oh.
Him and Paul Hightower are
put him
a legend.
In the Hall of Fame.
993 targets out of 1,000.
That's insane.
That's a lot.
Really good accuracy.
Yeah. Let's see here. What we got? It's 90 at Arapahoe and Sprinklin.
Sprinklin. Well, it was sprinkling here whenever I walked into the studio. Yeah. Just a tiny bit. I like looked up. I was like, what is falling from the sky? What is this?
<It's> water. All right. Let's see what happened overnight. Soybean and grain futures jumped in overnight trading on sales of U.S. ag products to overseas buyers and concerns about crops in the southern Midwest. Exporters sold 134 million, or 134,000 metric tons of soybeans to China for delivery in the 23-24 marketing year. Sales of an additional 132,000 tons of U.S. beans to China and 183,000 tons of soybean cake meal to the Philippines. Cool. That was announced. So that helped. Ongoing.
Hi.
That was a great expression.
You couldn't have drawn that one up better. Thanks a lot, Jimmy.
We have some special guests in the studio.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
See, he wouldn't tell me what the heck was going on. He was like, oh, it's nothing to worry about. All right, then. Not going to worry about it.
We're going to have the Jimmy, Brent, Jill show. So anyway.
You couldn't have a name that starts with a J. Did you not get the memo?
You can rename me today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Well, anyway, well, let's just go ahead and take a Wheeler General Store break.
That sounds great.
Yeah, and let Jill gather herself.
I'm blushing, if you didn't know. I'm blushing.
Anyway, we have a special guest in the studio that's going to interview her today.
Interview me?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Her father, Brent Metter's in here, and Mr. Jimmy Taylor's in here from the Taylor Ranch. It's going to be an awesome show today.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Anyway, you guys, don't go anywhere. This is going to be fun. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, July 28th. 1,039 head were sold, 3 head of steers at 258, brought 320, 6 at 345, brought 312, 9 at 507, brought 292, 8 at 572, brought 276, 4 at 658, brought 260, 6 at 742, brought 245, 5 at 757, brought 220, 6 head of heifers at 304, brought 266, 3 at 430, brought 256, 13 at 561, brought 247.50, 6 at 581, brought 230, 5 at 604, brought 250, 4 at 613, brought 232, 3 at 985, brought 179. Butcher cows were 74 to 130. Butcher bulls brought 109 to 135. Bred cows were 900 to 2075. Pairs brought 600 to 2900. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's 580-497-6095.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Don't forget Jill.
And Jill Metter.
Yeah, she's quit blushing now.
Yeah.
Out here in the Texas Panhandle, I picked Miami for the city to do a weather update today. Currently it's 90 degrees, heat index at 90, humidity's 39, dew point 62, the winds are out of the southeast at 7 miles an hour. Really nice out there, and they got 0.01 inches of rain. That was two drops anyway.
Quite literally.
And 8-inch soil temperature is 81 degrees. Well, joining us in the studio today, you want to introduce our guests?
Yes, I would, because they scared the crap out of me just a little bit. Wasn't expecting them. But in the studio with us, we have my father, Brent Metter, and my very good friend, Jimmy Taylor.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Today, we're going to use a little reverse psychology on the show. Instead of Jill and I speaking with you guys, we want you guys to speak to Jill about her experience on the Today in Ag show.
We could probably do that.
I've got a question.
I love it.
Jimmy's ready to go.
Well, that's the way you are with him.
Yep, sounds about right.
Anyway, so January this year, I talked with Jill. Her and her dad come back in. Few days later, talked about just coming in and helping me out on the show, because Jill come in with the Elk City FFA, and what was the...
We were talking about our project auction that was coming up.
Yeah, the project
auction. I had called my dad one day. I was a FFA officer this last year for our chapter, and I was kind of in charge of advertising for the stuff that we did, and so I wanted to get on the radio to talk about our project auction.
Yeah.
And so I called my dad. I was like, hey, do you have Jimmy Clark's number? Well, he sent me the number. Little did I know is that when I called that number, that would start something entirely new for me.
Yeah. No, it was good. And her, and who else come in with you?
That was Kai Keys, one of my very good friends. He was our FFA president this last year.
You guys come in, and I don't know if I was just overwhelmed or impressed with the way you acted in here. And you could tell you was a natural. So that's where it all started.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's about it.
I mean, she had to have her father come in here to interview me about her coming on the show.
Sounds about right.
But anyway, it's been fun the last 8 months, and you don't know how much I appreciate it. I mean, I had Jancy coming in too, and with the two of you guys, it made life easier on the show.
Oh, it was,
because people
blast.
Don't know how hard it is. If you don't have a guest, it's how hard to come in here and talk for an hour.
I do. It's hard.
I mean, you could be the biggest blabbermouth in the world, but come in here for an hour on the show, it's tough.
It is.
Just like, come on, clock, move faster. But anyway, so over the last 8 months, we've done everything. We've did
pretty much
the professors. We've did articles on FFA. You and Jancy interviewed a bunch of FFA kids during FFA week. You're going off to college, and now it's your turn for two professionals to ask you something that you might have learned over the last 8 months. Because I think you've come a long way in eight months.
I have learned a lot, for sure.
And you knew a lot anyway. You knew more than you realize or you admit. But anyway, let's start with Mr. Taylor of the Taylor Ranch.
and Jimmy, I don't know if I would qualify for a professional or it would be like an expert. And to be an expert, you've got to be over 100 miles away from home to qualify for that. So
we're what, at 27?
Yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah, 20.
Well, you're a fourth of the way professional.
There you go. There you go. Well, Jill, I guess I'd be curious to know, what's been the biggest surprise? You know, the beef industry is a very complex industry, and if you broaden that out a little bit to the entire agriculture industry, you know, there's a lot of moving parts there. And you have had a unique perspective to be able to talk to different people from all parts of the industry, and, mm-hmm. and just what's been your biggest surprise with what you've done?
Well, I can answer a lot of different things, I think, but I think coming onto the show, I had a general knowledge of how the beef market works. I think over the last couple months, I've really expanded my knowledge on it, really kind of paid attention more to sale barn numbers, how much beef is costing, how much consumers are buying, and how much producers are making off of what they're producing. And I would just say that, you know, I've talked to a lot of people, and I've seen how people run their different operations. That's really been eye-opening for me, because I've just kind of seen our operation, just kind of had tunnel vision of how it worked, and it's really just kind of expanded a little bit. So that was probably the biggest surprise, because in my mind, I thought everybody ran an operation like we did. And then I realized, I was like, oh, everybody kind of has their own different little thing. It's really, really cool. Yep, it's pretty, I like it.
Yeah, because we've talked to a lot of different people that, like, you got your family operation's different. Taylor Ranch family operation's mm-hmm. different. Mine's totally different from them, and they're totally different from me. That, you know, you find what works and go with it.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work, you better change pretty quick at today's prices.
Well, I think that's a good perspective, because every operation's different. Mm-hmm. Your environment's a little different. What watering capabilities you have is different, and something might work better on one place or another.
Oh, for sure.
Everybody's discovered what's best for them over the years.
For sure. That's a great question. See how wise he is?
He's had a week to think about it.
Well, I didn't have any time. I had like 10 seconds.
Well, Jimmy was gone. When I kind of hit him up, you just got back from San Diego. He's right. Been out there, and we're going to talk about what happened, some of the things that's gone on in the beef world in our last segment here with Jimmy. But
awesome.
But Dad, it's your turn.
Oh boy.
Well, I think one of the biggest things for me is I spent 20 years at the First National Bank, as a lot of people know, and I dealt with a lot of farmers and ranchers in our area. And you know, as a banker to those people, you kind of become part of their family, if you will. You kind of just become one of the major tools in the toolbox that they need. And you pour your heart and soul into learning the most that you can about their operation. And so for me, you know, I had the luxury of seeing all the different things that Jill talks about. You've got these guys that are trying corn, and they've had peanuts, and we've raised wheat, and we've tried dryland cotton, and we've had cattle, and cattle's been good, and cattle's been bad, and cotton's been up, and it's been down, and so you've seen all these different things, and so I had that luxury of seeing it from the banking side. And I think our biggest challenge in ag, and I said this as a banker to a lot of my customers over the years, is that we have to continue to bring the young generation into our lives and into what we're doing. And I think a lot of times with our kids, and I'm guilty of this, so that's why I'm saying this, a lot of times we get busy doing what we're doing, and we don't explain why we're doing it. It's just, this is what we do, and right. Go do it, and help, and jump in here. And we're not really explaining the price side of it. We're not explaining the cash flow side of it. We're not explaining the debt side of it. We're just explaining that, hey, we got these calves to work, and we need to get done, and it's hot,
right.
You know. And so I think it's important, if you look at the average age out there at the coffee shop, at the sale barn, at the bull sales, the average age is getting on up there.
Yes.
Of these producers. I mean, we're getting up in the plus 50s, maybe plus 60s on average, or median, when you look at those numbers. And we have a lot of young people coming to Western Oklahoma, and I love it. And I love the fact that we have this show where we're putting a spotlight on agriculture. You could travel the United States, and I would be willing to bet you won't find an ag show like this one anywhere.
Right.
And so we're putting a spotlight on agriculture out here. Trevor Dameron, I don't know Trevor very good, barely know him, but he's on yesterday and talking about his passion to start a little feed yard.
20-something years old and start a feed
yard. And do something new. That's the passion that we have to continue to have. And I really believe, and I've thought this for a long time, and I really thought it would have already got here. I think the best days cash flow-wise for agriculture are in front of us. I think these kids Jill's age that want to be an ag are going to make way more money than we ever did, way more money than Jimmy did, and way more money than my parents and grandparents did.
Right.
I think the best opportunities are in front of us. And, you know, I think your opening of your show talks about that this isn't a 9-to-5 job.
It's
this
not.
This is not a 40-hour week job. When it's time to bale, you go bale. When it's time to thrash peanuts, you go thrash peanuts. And a lot of it's weather related. And you got to have some of that deep down. You got to love it.
Yeah.
You got to have passion for it. But I really believe that the best days, there's more people to feed going forward and less people providing that food. I think the best days are ahead of us. And so for me, for Jill, it's just been a joy to see her be able to be a part of this and learn and broaden that horizon and see things that are going on outside of just Metter Angus Farms.
Right.
And so I've tried to stay quiet. I mean, I've pointed her in a direction or two and said, hey, what about this? Maybe you ought to talk about this. But I've tried to step back and let her find her own way and come up with topics and things that interest her.
Right. Yeah. So. She's done a really good job because she's told me a couple of different times. I asked Dad about this and he just always says, what do you think?
Yeah, pretty much.
Put the heat back on her and make her dig it up. And she comes in here and she always comes in there prepared. And I know I'm a little hard on her sometimes, especially when it comes to the Sooner OSU deal. But
right. So do I have time for a question?
Oh, yeah. Yes, you do.
Okay, so my number one question would be is, so now looking back, you're getting ready to go to college and you've been raised on the farm. Is there times or is there wishes you wish? I mean, you know what it was like to be raised in town a little bit. You've had a lot of friends that grew up in town. So did you ever have a wish that you wished you would have grown up in town and not been exposed to all this work and things that you've been exposed to on the farm?
A solid no.
And then why?
Well, why? Well, there's just so many. Growing up through elementary school, middle school, high school, all of my friends lived in town. Some of them live in the country, but maybe not necessarily grew up on a farm. And it kind of just opened my eyes a little bit, especially when I got to high school. I would say the best thing that being a farm kid taught me was work ethic. Like, you got to work to get what you want out of anything. You can't just go sit around and not do anything and expect the results to just happen. You really gotta work at it and persist at it, and you really gotta be patient. That would definitely be, that's one of the bigger ones, because especially
are we talking about baling hay or working cattle?
A little bit of both.
Or rainfall.
I've seen our farm go from really, really bad to really, really good within like 365 days because of rainfall. It's really funny. Whenever, you know, we went through like the 2011 drought, we would always try to have dinner at our dinner table together every night. And we would always say a prayer before dinner. And the one thing we would pray for, even when I was a little, was like, dear God, please send us some rain. We really need it. The cows are really thirsty. The ground is really, really brown. We need
and it's
some
going
rainfall.
On today.
Exactly. And I just remember that. And you really just got to be patient. Things just don't happen in, you know, snap of a finger. You really just got to persist at it and just stay at it. So I wouldn't change it for the world. I have learned so many experiences just growing up on the farm, work ethic, being patient. And I have met, and I say this all the time, I have met more people through the agriculture industry that care about me and where I'm going than in any other industry. It is truly a community that wants you to succeed and wants to see others succeed and not just themselves,
right.
Which is just great. I feel like when we went to I believe it was like junior day for OSU, I was torn between picking two different majors, because picking a major is the most stressful thing in the entire world. And I was torn between going to the School of Business and going to the School of Agriculture, because I come from an area of agriculture, but I'm really passionate about going into marketing and communications. And we went to like the opening session, and they were telling us like, okay, if you're in the School of Business, you go this way. If you're in the School of Agriculture, like, you go this way. If you're in the School of Arts, you go to this building. And we were standing, we walked out of the building, and I was standing there, and on my card, it had told me, because I had picked a marketing major pre-hand, it had told me, okay, School of Business, you need to go to this building. While I was sitting there, and I was like, for probably a solid 5 minutes, I looked at my parents, and I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I put marketing major on my degree, but after talking with some agriculture students at the College of Agriculture booth earlier that morning, something kind of shifted in my mindset, and I felt like God was just telling me to go to the Ferguson College of Agriculture informational session, and so I did, and that was probably the best decision I ever made.
Awesome.
Because those people in there, man, they immediately just are like your family. Like, every time I have come across people that work in the Ferguson College of Agriculture, whether they're professors, they're students, they're just working for the college itself, they are just great people, and they want to see you succeed.
Yeah.
And I love that.
And it's like talking with Dr. Peel the other day. Dr. Peel said, come see me. We're
exactly.
in the same building.
They're so welcoming.
And he doesn't know who you are.
He has no clue. I'm just going to show up at his office one day and be like, hey, I'm Jill Metter. We talked. He'll be like, who are you?
the biggest thing I've seen up there with the School of Agriculture is the professors, the students, everybody, it just feels like the ag community. I mean, it feels like you're at home. It feels like Elk City High School. It feels like Merritt High School. It feels like Sarah High School.
Right.
I mean, that's the feel that the Ferguson School of Agriculture has. And when you go to the School of Business, nothing against it at OSU, and I'm sure it's like this other places too, but it doesn't have that feel. It has
strictly
like
business.
It has like the New York City feel.
Yeah.
You know, or the East Coast feel. It's just it doesn't have that feel that we have out here in Western Oklahoma. And so when you get there and you start getting involved in the School of Agriculture, you just feel at home, especially a farm girl. I mean, you could tell she just got comfortable, and she just feels at home.
And so you're ready to go.
Ready to go. Yep. I have met some amazing people already through there.
Let's take a Wheeler General Store break.
Yes.
When we come back, we got Jill Metter, her father in here, Brent, and Mr. Jimmy Taylor in here. We're going to talk a little more about Jill, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the cookout barbecue coming out with the North Fork, the membership meeting. And then Mr. Taylor just got back from the West Coast. We're going to see if he learned anything out there. And so anyway, we ain't got a big enough show today. So anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires, and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know, you know, what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
We will be an ag bank forever. There's just no way around it. Western Oklahoma, that's kind of a big deal around here. And we like to structure that stuff to where it fits your operation. You know, one size doesn't fit all. We're able to take what you need and have it fit you specifically. It helps guys with their cash flow, gives them a little relief knowing they don't have to come up with a payment during the slow time of the year. They're not having to sell calves early to make a payment. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed and Corn, Forage Sorghum, and Milo. Avanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Avanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Avanta Seeds. The future begins with the seed.
XIT Auctions will be selling a good farm equipment auction Saturday, August the 5th, just east of Altus, Oklahoma. Trucks, tractors, trailers, a nice combine, and much more. For more information on this auction or to talk about your auction, call me, Aubrey Latham, 580-393-4440. That's Saturday, August the 5th, 7 miles east and 3 miles north of Altus, Oklahoma. Check all the details out on the web at xitauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it. And it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website. WallEquip.com. WallEquip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We're back.
We are.
Today is the Wheeler General Store Happy Cap Hour. But before we get to them, let's go ahead and do that forecast, Miss Jill.
I have your Northwest Oklahoma forecast for you. I picked Camargo, Oklahoma today. It is 89 degrees in Camargo. That's, like, really cool for today since we've August. Been in the hundreds for the last, like, 4 weeks. It feels like 92 degrees. Dew point is 67. Humidity is 47%. Wind is out of the southeast at 9 miles an hour. Your sun is going to set at 8:41 p.m. Today, you can expect a high of 100 degrees. Tonight, there's a 20% chance of thunderstorms with a low of 71. Tomorrow, also a 20% chance of thunderstorms. Tomorrow night, there's actually a 50% chance of thunderstorms. Sunday, it's going to be 88 degrees and sunny. And then going into next week, there's a couple chances of rain showers.
Awesome. The Wheeler General Store is the go-to store in Wheeler County. From animal feed and farm and ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies, they are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity Kepley, take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, their team will be there ready to help you with all your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items they offer. Delivering feed is their specialty. They have been a high pro dealer for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, and even New Mexico. Located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside of Wheeler, Texas, they look forward to serving you. And I know where some of those Wheeler General Store people are going to be at tomorrow because they're a big sponsor of the Quail Forever tournament at Sayre tomorrow.
Oh, they, golf.
They might be from over there across state line, but they love to come over here and play golf on this side of the state
that
line.
That sounds fun. Yeah. I can't golf. We figured this out the last time we went to Top Golf. I can't golf.
What's is it, a back swing or just a...
It's bad.
The softball swing is not very good for golfing.
Yeah, you have to keep the club down. You can't swing
it. Yeah.
I have a video or two if you need it.
Save that for
yeah.
We don't
someday.
We don't need that blackmail.
Well, before we carry on with Ms. Teal, I had an interesting message sent to me when you brought it up about our future generation of farmers and ranchers and agriculture people. And this came from down in Wichita County. He said the biggest problem is young people having capital and borrowing power.
That's exactly right. I mean, that for sure was the biggest challenge in my banking career is you have a lot of young people that I think are raised out here around the farm and ranch and have a passion for it. But unfortunately, let's say mom and dad aren't to the point that they can start giving stuff to their kids. Or support two families because they still have to borrow money too. And they're struggling. There hasn't been a lot of profit, in Western Oklahoma in agriculture over the last, say, 25 or 30 years. It's been minimal. And so they can't just start giving stuff to their kids. And so these kids have had to try to come home and get started on their own and find land to lease on their own or to buy it. And yes, if you go and you buy the land and you buy the equipment and you buy the cattle and you don't have that money, which most people don't, and you go borrow that, even – when I was a banker, interest rates were low. It was 4%, 5%. Now it's 8%, 9%, or 10% because we've had this huge – and so it's a huge, huge problem of being able to get that capital and then be able to cash flow it all. So I completely agree with your text. At 100% is that is by far the biggest challenge that we face of young people getting started. And I would like to think that we're getting into a better margin – going forward, and I felt like, and I was wrong. I mean, I said 10 years ago we would already be there. I thought we would get into better margins by now, and you know, here we are, and we're starting to see wheat at $8, you know, instead of $3. And corn, you know, prices are better. We're starting to talk about cattle are bringing double what they did a year ago, you know, at the sale barns. I felt like 10 years ago I was saying we're just a few years from then, from that. And I was completely wrong. We were farther away. And I hope that we're getting there and we're here to stay because I think that better margin will create some better opportunities for young people to come back. And we have a lot of young people in our area. You know, just like Trevor being on here yesterday, we have some young farmers.
Right.
There's lots of the Damerons are back and doing a good job, and they're on their own. You know, they're not. They might be farming a little bit with their parents. You know, or helping each other, but they're doing their own thing.
Right.
I mean, these young people are coming back. They're thinking outside the box. They're doing some things different. Yeah. They're figuring out how to make it work, and that's the passion that we've got to have.
Well, I'm not saying this because I know them and they're good friends. Most of them are good friends of me anyway, but. Damerons are one of the best examples of a farming family that there is.
For Beckham County,
County, there is. You got this brother over here, this brother over here, and this brother over here, and then you got all these sons and daughters. And but if somebody gets in a jam over here on this family farm, these two families come over and help them get out of a jam. It worked great. I mean, I watched it, and I'm not saying this because I'm friends with them. I'm sitting there watching.
Right.
They help each other, and I think that's what makes their farming successful.
Right.
Is because nobody's ever really in a nine-line bind as far as getting things done.
Right.
And just like Trevor that was in here yesterday, you know, that's why I wanted him to come on. He's a young person, and it's not farming, but it's an ag business.
Right.
And you got to have ag businesses to support farming and ranching. So that's why I wanted him to come on and say, hey, this is what I got. I can only do 300 or 400 head, which doesn't sound like a lot to a lot of people. You take care of 300 or 400 head in a lot and see what happens.
That's right.
And it's a good thing.
But yes, we've got to get to a better margin in these ag products for young people to get in on their own and be able to sustain it. We've got to get there. And I think we're headed there.
Yep.
And we're seeing signs of it. We're probably not there yet, but maybe we're going there.
Mr. Taylor, what do you think about this situation with the finances and the young agriculture people?
You know, it's just tough for a young person to make it anymore. Something that's been talked about a little bit, Brent referred to our aging population. I think average age now is 57 years on farmers and ranchers. There's probably going to be some opportunities that older farmers or ranchers won't have any kids that want to get in, and there could be some opportunities for younger people that are interested to partner up, maybe.
Right.
Could be some of that out there. What you said about the families helping each other, that's the way the cattle business used to be. In summer roundup, different ranches would go help each other during roundup. Roundup used to be a lot more labor intensive than it is now.
Right.
And so you might have two or three other ranches join up and help a ranch with summer roundup. Then the next week they'd go to their friend's ranch that had helped them. So used to be a lot more of that, but what you described about the farming is how that used to be.
Right, and it's good. And so saying this in front of her, because I know it, she's soaking it in. It's going back there in that hard drive of hers.
Yes, it is.
And so I think she'll pay attention to this while she's at college and learn from talking to other people that come, because there's going to be a lot of kids there from farms and ranches where she's going, and she can listen. And maybe when she graduates, she can do this big report on, this is what's happening out here in the real world.
Yep, that's the plan.
So I'm going to ask you a question.
Oh, boy.
What is kind of touching on what they asked you all ago on what's the biggest thing you've learned here on the show, but just rattle off a couple of things that you think of that was the most exciting moment for you. Oh. Fun moment. You had a blast interviewing the FFA kids.
Yes,
I know that.
That was so much fun, just because, I mean, those kids are like me. We get along really great because we have so much in common.
You have the same language.
Exactly. Exactly. I understand everything that they're saying. That's why Jimmy wanted me to do it in the first place. He was like, you understand what they're saying more than I do. So you
say
the
stuff
interview.
Like, that's sick.
Yeah.
And that actually means something good.
Yeah, it means it's good. Oh, that's so sick.
I know.
I agree, Jill. I think you relate better to him a lot better than Jimmy does.
Yeah. Well, I guess that was for the better then. No, that was a lot of fun. I really got to I realized that there's more kids than just me that want to go into agriculture.
Right.
And that gave me a little bit more hope for the future, just to see that there's a lot of local kids here that want to pursue agriculture, and that they're all involved in FFA and involved on the officer team, and they know about agriculture. I love that. That was really fun.
Well, I moved back in 2008, and I noticed more from 2008 on how many kids that grew up on the farm are working in the oil field, but they're maintaining, they're trying to maintain helping their parents at home, or like you said, lease their own thing and got it started. And the oil field's got, there's a lot of people have gotten out of the oil field and just went strictly back into farming and ranching because that oil field income helped them get to where they needed to be.
Right.
To touch on that thing like you were talking about a while ago. And I think you'll see more and more of it with your generation. When you get up in your 20s and stuff up in there, you'll say, hey, where you been doing since we graduated from school? Well, I've been on a snubbing unit down there in West Texas, but I'm back to take care of my sheep now. You know, that kind of stuff. So, hey, this show's going by fast. Anyway, we're going to have to take a Wheeler General Store break. When we come back, we'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. And we're going to touch on the co-op meeting.
Okay.
And then we're going to touch a little bit on what he's...
I want to know what Jimmy learned. I've been sitting over here like...
Well, an old dog can learn new tricks, so...
Yeah, so anyway...
There was learning that took place.
All right, we'll be right back. We'll get this over with so we can get back to this group. We'll be right back.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hypro. For Hypro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that Napa replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City Napa store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
XIT Auctions will be selling a good farm equipment auction Saturday, August the 5th, just east of Altus, Oklahoma. Trucks, tractors, trailers, a nice combine, and much more. For more information on this auction or to talk about your auction, call me, Aubrey Latham, 580-393-4440. That's Saturday, August the 5th, 7 miles east and 3 miles north of Altus, Oklahoma. Check all the details out on the web at xitauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
It's almost here.
In motion is Patton. It's going to be that trap play to Garbarino up the middle. That's a 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Big outs! Cooper Garbarino, 77 yards.
We're closing in on the start of Big Elk football, which means Big Elk TV will be on the air before you know it.
Wynn and Garza are the running backs. Jones under center. Austin, snap, turn, hand off to Wynn. Jaden piles toward. It's a touchdown for the Big Elks.
You'll be able to watch and see if Coach Maynard's brown and white clad Elks can continue their winning ways.
Snap back, play action, lobs it toward the end zone. He's got a man. It's a touchdown for the Big Elks. Tucker Garza.
To get your business on the Big Elk TV screen, call 225-9696 or stop by our office at 220 South Pioneer.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Touchdown, we're back.
Apparently, it is a touchdown. It is football season. It is my favorite season of the year besides softball season. I love football. Hey, I got your Hobart Farm and Garden Lone Ranger forecast for you, and I picked way down south in Grandfield, Oklahoma. It is 104 degrees down at Grandfield, but it feels like 107. Heat risk is very high. Dew point is 63 degrees. Humidity is 27%. Wind is out of the south at 8 miles an hour. Your sun is going to set at 8:35 p.m. There is a heat advisory today until 9 p.m. And a heat advisory tomorrow until 9 p.m. Today you could expect a high of 107 degrees. Tonight it's going to get a It's going to be mostly clear with a low of 80 degrees. Tomorrow it's going to be 110, so drink lots of water and stay out of the sun, please. And then Sunday, 104, it's actually going to cool off a little bit next week with a few chances of rain showers. Hey, Jimmy. This Jimmy, the one all the way at the really tall one, that one, that always wears the cowboy hat. What did you learn in San Diego?
Oh, I'm on the Cattlemen's Beef Board, which manages the checkoff dollars as far as nationally. And as we've talked in the past, that board is made up of 101 board members from across the United States. They're all volunteers. So it's a little cumbersome to get them to meet. So most of the meetings are smaller committees, but the whole board meets twice a year. This was one of those times. And at this particular meeting, that's when we're looking at our projects for next year. Our fiscal year starts October 1st. So we have contractors that come up with these projects to help create beef demand. And at this summer board meeting that I was just at, they presented those new projects. First time we got to see them. And as you guys, just as you guys, these volunteers, they've got operations of their own. So when they leave home to come up to this meeting, they've got hay down in the field that needs baled. They've got spraying they need to do. They've got cattle they need to work. But they take time off from their operations to come up here, volunteer their time to look at these projects and make suggestions on what could be better about those, or tell that contractor what they don't like. You know, you might want to consider taking this out. It's in their opinion, it's not something that would do a good job with beef demand, or there's something that might really do a good job in creating beef demand, and they'll tell them that too. So from this meeting, the contractors take all of these comments and redo their projects a little bit. They make tweaks to make them better. And then in September, we'll have our operating committee meet, and that 20-member committee will select which projects get to move forward. We'll also have to make cuts because we've got a little over $36 million to work with. We've got $49 million in projects. So we're going to have to either cut a project or two out or reduce what we give those, and then they'll have to tweak them again, the projects that get to stay. But the good part of this, the part I like best, is all those volunteers, all those cattlemen coming together from across the United States and giving their input, their producer input, on these projects.
That's awesome. I love that. So I don't know if you can talk about it, but what are some of the projects that you can talk about?
I didn't get to see them all because we're split up into six committees. So each producer is assigned a committee. My particular committee, the ones I saw, are stakeholder engagement. And that, if you are signed up for the drive, that's where that comes from. I called it a report back to our investors, those who pay the dollar. It lets them know what their dollar's doing in the areas of promotion, research, and education. So in that one, the new thing that I saw, there's going to be ongoing project that just they'll run that back through if it was a successful project, and we'll redo it another year, or there might be tweaks. The part I really liked about this, the drive, and I think you get it, Jill, the paper version comes out quarterly. There's a digital version that comes out on email once a month. But there's going to be producer surveys in there where you can make suggestions. Every producer can make suggestions on what they like about the program, what they like about these projects, what they don't like. So we'll get input. You'll have an opportunity to have your voice heard by participating in this way. And if you're not receiving the drive right now and you pay into the checkoff, you can go to the website, drivingdemandforbeef.com, and there's a place to sign up for the drive. And you can, like I said, you can do it either digitally or get the paper version, and it's free.
Awesome. Well, you heard it here. If you want to say in any of these projects, you should go take that survey.
This might be an ignorant question. You guys may know the answer, but is beef, it's what's for dinner? Is that a check-off
yes,
dollar?
Yes, that's a check-off program. That's probably what most people know.
Right.
Most popular programs. You know, Sam Elliott used to be the voice on that. But one of the problems we're facing is the shrinking dollar. Back in 1985, when the beef check-off was born, it was a dollar a head. It's still a dollar a head. So a dollar in 1985 is worth 35 cents today of what it was then. So, you know, with inflation going each year, that gets less. So our buying power goes down. TV ads are expensive. So that's why you see less of a presence on television anymore and moving more toward digital, other types of promotion.
Right.
Another project that we do is called Northeast Beef Promotion Initiative. That's where we take dollars from big cattle states like Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas, Nebraska, and move some of those dollars to the high population areas up in the Northeast. They've got approximately 74 million people up there. It's about a quarter of the population of the U.S. And we can get a bigger bang for the buck up there. They have 15 people for every cow up there. If you look at a state like South Dakota, they have 4 cows for every person. So we take those dollars, move them up there, and we'll do promotions to educate consumers. We will have educational programs for health professionals like doctors, nutritionists, and try to educate them and refute some of that misinformation out there that those animal activist groups put out that beef is bad for you. It helps tell that true story about beef and helps create beef demand.
Awesome.
Well, guess what?
It's the end of the show.
That music comes around quick.
Yes, it does.
So you guys might have to surprise her again next week.
Maybe not surprise.
Jimmy Taylor, Brent Mayer, thank you so much for coming in for me today. I love that look.
Thanks for giving Jim the opportunity to help out.
Oh, no.
It was
golden. You've been listening to Jimmy Clark and Jill Metter on the Day in Ag Show. See you guys tomorrow. Or no, Monday. I mean, today's Friday.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the hottest country music on the planet.
This is KEC.